Well, as I mentioned already this morning, our gospel text for today is going to be the parable of the prodigal son from the Gospel of Luke chapter 15. We're going to pick up kind of in the middle of that chapter in verse 11 and read all the way through verse 32. So if you're able, please rise again for the hearing of God's holy word. And we read Luke 15 in Jesus' holy name. And he said, "There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that is coming to me.' And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into the far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field, and he came and drew near the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother is come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound.' But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, 'Look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, and you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him.' And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found.'" Heavenly Father, thank you for this parable of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Luke. Lord, thank you that you rejoice every time a lost sinner is found. And thank you that you continually search. God, today through your word, I pray that you would show us our sin and that you would point us to the answer for sin, to your Son, Jesus Christ, who lived, died, and rose again that we might have life and life eternal. By your word, strengthen our faith. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah. Well, just like last week, and always, I suppose, when you're dealing with Scripture, it's very important to understand the context of your passage. Oftentimes, just reading the verses around the passage you're looking at helps shed light on things that you wouldn't normally pick up on or otherwise realize. If you were to flip open your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 15, you would find that this entire chapter is a chapter where Jesus is teaching parables. And he's teaching parables to a group of scribes and Pharisees. Remember, the scribes and the Pharisees, these were the good and honorable and respectable Jewish people. You see, they were grumbling and they were complaining because Jesus was spending his time with the sinners, and even worse, he was spending his time with tax collectors. So seeing this and in response to it, Jesus goes on to teach three parables in Luke chapter 15. And all three parables share a very similar theme. Their goal is to rebuke and to correct the thinking of the Pharisees and the scribes. So that is what Luke 15 is all about, correcting and rebuking these Pharisees and scribes. Oftentimes, this chapter of Scripture is called the lost and found chapter because each parable has something that is lost that gets found again. The first parable that's taught is the parable of the lost sheep. Remember, a man had 100 sheep. One went missing, and he went off to search for it. And when he brought it back, he rejoiced greatly. And then the second parable is the parable of the lost coin. A woman lost her coin. She sweeps out her house. She digs for it. And when she finds it, she rejoices greatly. And Jesus ends both of these parables by saying, so also is there great rejoicing in heaven anytime a sinner repents of their sins. So the point Jesus is trying to make in this lost and found chapter is very clear and it's very easy to see. Jesus is hanging out with sinners and with tax collectors because they are sinners. They're people who need to repent. They're people that need to be saved. And God desires that they would be saved. So that is where Jesus is, among the sinners. The next parable that Jesus teaches, this parable of the prodigal son, which we just read, it's going to follow a similar theme, but it's going to expand and unpack on some of these things a little bit more. The parable of the prodigal son is one that we've all heard before. It's one of the best known parables in all of Scripture. Actually, jokingly this morning, I was talking to Pastor Greg, and I asked if he wanted to preach, and he asked what the passage was. I said the prodigal son, and he laughed and said, that's okay, that's easy, we can just wing it. We feel that way with this passage of Scripture, right? We all know it so well that we can just check our brains out as soon as it starts being read. But that's a mistake. Because every time the Word of God is read, the Holy Spirit desires to use the Word of God to work in our lives. It desires to use the Word of God to show us our sin, and He desires to point us to Christ who died for us. So in this parable, we have a man with two sons. And in the second verse of the parable, the youngest son does something shocking. Terrifyingly so. He says, Father, give me the share of the property that you have coming to me. We've heard this parable so many times that we know this is coming and we forget how offensive it is. Effectively, the younger son says, Dad, I wish you were dead. Can we just skip to the end where I get the money? Because that's all you're good for to me is money. I don't know what would have happened in your family if you said that to your dad. Suppose I could double check with mine since he's here today. But I imagine that if I said, Dad, I wish you were dead, give me all your money, he would have said, ha ha, go sleep on your friend's couch, you're gone. Hit the bricks. This is over. But that's not what the father in this parable does. He divides his property and he gives the younger son half of what he has. He gives him his inheritance. The younger son goes on and does what any responsible young man with a lot of money would do. He runs off to a distant land and he squanders every penny on reckless living. Reckless living is the sanctified way of saying that he lived the party life. It was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Once the younger son ran out of cash, he also ran out of friends and he ran out of opportunities. There was a famine in the land and he resorted to taking care of pigs, which for a Jewish man would have been about as low as you could go. And then he descended lower, wanting to even eat the food fed to those unclean animals. It was from rock bottom that the son looked up and remembered something. He remembered how good his father was. He remembered that his father was gracious and honest. He decided that he was going to go back home, that he would confess his sin, not just to his father, but also to God. And that when he went back, he wouldn't ask to be brought back into the household. He just wanted a job. He wanted to be a servant. He wanted to go back and earn his keep. That's what he was going to go back and say and do. He's preparing the speech as he walks along. And while he was still a long way off, his father sees him and rushes out and embraces him on the road. When the father reaches him, he hugs him and he kisses him. And he didn't even listen as the son tries to give his rehearsed speech. He only gets halfway through it. The father calls to the servants, bring the best robe, bring new sandals, put a ring on his finger. It's time to feast because my son who was lost has been found. But this isn't the surprising part of the parable of the prodigal son. Remember, we just read two parables, or would have if we read the whole chapter of Luke 15, with the exact same meaning, right? When a sinner repents, when they agree with God and Holy Scripture about their sinfulness, when they turn from it and turn from God to his endless mercy and grace, there's rejoicing in heaven. That's what the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin were all about. And up until this point, the parable of the prodigal mirrors those parables. Obviously, there is a big party and much rejoicing when he returns. That's what the first two were also saying. You see, the surprising part of this parable, at least to those scribes and Pharisees sitting around Jesus, would have been that Jesus didn't stop. You see, sure, the mercy of the Father was abnormal, but within the context, it made sense. But Jesus continuing on in this parable would have been the surprising part to them. He continues on and talks about the older son. The son who had always been there, who had always been faithful, who had always done the will of the father. The older son said to his dad, look, these many years I've served you and never have I disobeyed your command. We have fathers in here, right? Did any of your sons always obey all of your commands? We know that this is a bit of an exaggeration, because the only son who was ever the perfect son was Jesus Christ. But from the story we have, this older son appeared to be a good son, faithful, doing what his father asked for the most part, especially when we compare him to that disrespectful and greedy and reckless, careless little brother of his, right? At the end of this parable, the older brother's upset. He's even jealous. You see, the father had been terribly wronged. He had been disrespected and rejected by the younger son. And now the father is rejoicing and throwing a party because that wretched, whoremongering, wasteful, reckless, garbage-eating slug came back. At least that's how it appeared to the older brother. From his perspective, this wasn't a time to rejoice or to be happy. From his perspective, this was a time to exact revenge on his brother for the disrespect and wastefulness and sin that he had committed. For him, it wasn't a time to welcome him with open arms. It was to tell him that he wasted all of his chances and now he needs to hit the bricks. But the father pleads with his older son. He tells him that their rejoice has to be joy because your brother, his son who was dead, is now alive. You see, that should be the response any time, any person, no matter who they are or what they've done, anytime they turn from their sins and their hatred of God and repent and call out to God asking for mercy and grace, that should always be our response is joy. It's the response of heaven. No matter how bad or wicked or awful these people have been in their life, God desires all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And we should celebrate anyone who does. See, this is the part of the parable that was pointed directly at the sin of the Pharisees and the scribes. Remember the opening of this chapter, they were grumbling and complaining because Jesus was accepting the sinners and the tax collectors, and he was eating with them. That grumbling and complaining was exactly what the older brother had done in this parable. Jesus was not just teaching the Pharisees and the scribes that it's a good thing for even the most hated parts of society to come to faith. Jesus is also teaching them that they are utterly and wretchedly sinful, that they need to repent as well. You see, they weren't acting as God's chosen people, as they looked down on others, as they deemed others unworthy of the grace and mercy of God. Instead, they were acting like wretched, lost sinners. This parable shows us both the sin and wretchedness of the younger brother and his rejection of his father and his good gifts. But it also shows us the sin of the older brother and his judging of the younger brother and deciding that he was unworthy of the grace and mercy of his father. Jesus teaches us how utterly sinful both of these things are, but more importantly, he teaches us that God desires all to repent. Whether your sin is the sin of the younger brother or the older brother, the death of Christ is enough for you, and God desires that you would turn from it and turn to him. For being honest, there are times in our lives where we have behaved like that younger son, where we've taken for granted the goodness and mercy of God. There have been times where we have imagined ourselves to know better than God does. There have been times when we have squandered his good gifts and we haven't even given a second thought to the giver of all things good. My friends, this is sin. And it is utterly wretched, and it has earned us nothing short of the just judgment of eternal hell separated from our God. But there have also been times in our lives where we have acted like the older brother, where we've thought to ourselves, yeah, I might be a sinner, but at least I'm not as bad as that person over there. I may have done bad things, but I'm not like my neighbor or the guy down the street or that black sheep relative we've got. Every one of us in the room can look at the sinfulness of others and think that our sin isn't quite as bad. Maybe today, even as we read this parable, you thought to yourself, at least I'm not like that older brother, which proves you're just like the older brother. You see, this sin is just as wretched, it is just as wicked, and it too has earned you nothing short of the just judgment of eternal hell separated from your God. But God desires that we would turn from every time that we have acted like the younger brother, every time we have spit in the face of God, every time that we have squandered his good gifts, every time that we thought we knew better how to live our lives than he commanded. God desires that we would turn and repent from those sins and rest in him. He also desires that we would turn and repent from every time we have acted like the older brother, every time we have tried to justify our wretched sinfulness by saying, at least I'm not as bad, or I think I'm pretty good, or maybe I deserve more than what I've got. You see, God desires that we would turn from that as well and turn directly to the cross, where Christ died even for your sin. On the cross, Jesus died for the sins of both the older and the younger brother. He lived the sinless life that you could not live, and he offers all of it to you freely. So come and receive what he offers. Come and accept what he gives. Confess your sins before him and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ, which is enough even for you and your sin. Rest in the forgiveness. Rest in the restored relationship with God. Rest in the sure hope of eternal life and live in light of God's unlimited mercies. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this parable of the prodigal son. Lord, we know we are sinners. We have behaved like the younger son and squandering your good gifts and not even giving you thanks for them. We've behaved like the older son, comparing ourselves to others and thinking that we deserve more because we've been faithful. Forgive us. Allow us to see that Christ died even for those sins, that his sacrifice is enough even for us. May we rest in that finished work. May you keep us in the one true faith until you call us home. Amen.